Spingola Speaks. I am Deanna Spingola, and I'm giving you the history of Columbus and why I think he's a dirty, rotten scoundrel and a mass murderer, and why I absolutely refuse to even consider celebrating a day that FDR claimed that he should have. Now, I was talking about Chiqui, who was a poor boy who had responded negatively to one of the oppressors, whose name was Carrasco. And a witness reports, and I quote, "He was tied chest and face to a thick post, his arms hugging around it, but I could see his face. His eyes scanned the crowd. The post itself was of the chiqui tree, a tough wood that will not burn once charred and hardened. Many portaños have hugged that post before, but chiqui could actually," unquote. Getting back to the what happened, and I quote, "Two men carried his chair to the back of the prisoner, and the marshal gave him a short," and they're talking about Carrasco. "Two men carried his chair to the back of the prisoner, and the marshal gave him a short, razor-sharp dagger. Carrasco, a thin, small man with a goat's beard, held up the dagger and offered the Ave Maria. Then he thanked the marshal and the principal judge for the privilege. Leaning over, he poked the boy, Chiqui, and buttock. Getting a piece of him, putting the dagger and allow the crowd asked, and the soldiers and sailors laughed. Among the guards, several laughed loudly. One yelled to the lined-up Indians, and I quote, 'Hear the devil yelp, you dogs.' Carrasco looked up proudly. I could tell he was a nobody among the guards before this. Smiling, he raised the dagger to the guards and put the joint at Chiqui's anus. Chiqui gasped, and the guards began to titter loudly. But the marshal barked at Carrasco to stay with the sentence. Dutifully, Carrasco cut the calves, then two deep slits across each, just above the knees. Blood began to flow. Finished with the calves, we're having some audio problems today. There are some people, maybe I remember, that doesn't really want you to know about this stuff. So we are going to break. And when we come back, I will tell you what Carrasco did in front of his great big huge audience. And it's pretty terrible. Pretty terrible. So we're going to break. We will be right back in 3 minutes.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny, and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now, 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
All righty, we are back. I understand that we were having some audio problems, so hopefully we have rectified those, and so I'm going to give some information that may have been spotty before. Okay, so we have this young boy, and they carried him. They carried Carrasco, who was the person that this child had responded to negatively. The two men carried his chair to the back of the prisoner, and the marshal gave him, Carrasco, a short, razor-sharp dagger. A thin, small man with a goat's beard, held up the dagger and offered the Ave Maria. Then he thanked the marshal and the principal judge for the privilege. Leaning over, he then poked the boy, Jiqui, in one buttock, getting a piece of the skin and slipping the dagger in a half inch. Jiqui groaned. Then Carrasco's dagger scraped bone, and he yelled aloud. The crowd gasped. And the soldiers and sailors laughed. Among the guards, several laughed loudly. Now, these are quotes. This is the testimony as it is written. One yelled to the lined up Indians, "Hear the devil yelp, you dogs," unquote. And back to the further, Rascal looked up proudly. I could tell he was a nobody among the guards before this. In other words, Carrasco was getting, doing this, and he looked better in front of his compatriots. This was making him a hero. Smiling, he raised the dagger to the guards, then put the joint at Jiqui's anus. Jiqui gasped, and the guards began to titter loudly. But the marshal barked at Carrasco to stay with the sentence. Dutifully, Carrasco cut the calves, then two deep slits across each, just under the knees. Blood began to flow. Finished with the calves, Carrasco took a stab at the thick of one calf, and Jiqui yelled again, continuing with the testimony. And I quote, Carrasco was carried away in his chair as two men with dogs on short leashes approached, mastiffs of war. They sniffed blood excitedly and lunged for Jiqui's bloody calves. The handlers held the dogs up on hind legs, inches away from the calves. I wished to yell my love to the boy, but was silent. Next to me, I could tell the good friar was praying. At a signal from the marshal, the mastiffs were allowed close enough to lick the blood with their extended tongues, snarling up on hind feet. At a second signal, they tore in, one on each calf, tearing flesh in sharp bites as Jiqui yelled and yelled and yelled. The dogs were yanked away when they bit into bone. The two balls of the calves were gone. Two men with hot irons burned into the cavities left by the mastiffs, and Jiqui slumped as if dead, but his eyes stayed open. Jiqui was untied and lashed by wrist and ankles to a thick iron bar, which was propped between two Y poles with a dry brush gathered underneath. He was washed with water, and as he did move his head, he was made to drink copious amounts of it. Then the fire was started. All watched intently. Jiqui dangled by hands and feet, 6 feet over the fire. His back blackened slowly. His hair singed, and the horrible smell hung like a mist throughout the square. The sun grew intensely hot, and you could feel the heat of the fire itself. He groaned for 2 hours before he expired, but no one left the square. Many Indians, including myself, cried quietly for Jiqui as he burned. And among the women in the slave group, I did hear the hummed refrains of our Erato song of death to accompany the separation of the Goyak from, that means the spirit, from the body and the birth of the Opaya. Poor boy, I felt. How happy he might have been but for the existence of the Castilla on our lands, unquote. According to three popular books, The American Tradition, Land of Promise, and The American Way, the Islamic Turks cut off the trade route the Europeans used to obtain spices. However, the Turks, who made money from trading in spices, had nothing to do with developing different routes to India. Since 1915, U.S. textbooks perpetuate the error that the Muslim Turks, per the West's perception of them, are to blame instead of the Portuguese, who blocked the Red Sea and the Persian Gulf in 1507. In fact, the Turks and the Moors allowed freedom of religion for the Jews and the Christians during the same time that European Christians persecuted and deported Jews and Muslims. In 1963, U.S. Representative Roland Libinati from Illinois proposed that Congress proclaim a national holiday for Columbus. Libinati said, and I quote, his Christian faith gave to him a religious incentive to thwart the piratical activities of the Turkish marauders preying upon the trading ships of the Christian world, unquote. J.J. Barry, M.D., in his pre-1892 book, Life of Columbus, wrote, and I quote, the first object of the discovery, disengaged from every human consideration, was the glorification of the Redeemer and the extension of his church, unquote. By the end of the 16th century, slave traders shackled, chained about 9,500 slaves and crowded them into the unventilated cargo holds of ships bound for the Caribbean islands or the Americas. In addition to the psychological suffering, food and water were inadequate and inferior
resulting in persistent diarrhea, seasickness, severe malnutrition, epidemics of typhoid fever, smallpox, and other diseases. Their captors regularly sexually molested female captives. The mortality rate for short voyages was between 5 and 10%, and as high as 30% on longer voyages. Thereafter, survivors suffered wretched abuse and wore out their lives in the plantation system. Alexander I. Solzhenitsyn in the Gulag Archipelago used the phrase liquidation by labor, a phrase that is applicable to millions of victims who have been forced into slave labor by the elite. In the 18th century, there were about 800 American-owned sugar and cotton plantations on the French island of Santo Domingo, the western part of the island of Hispaniola, now known as Haiti. About 30,000 white planters managed the profitable plantations while their soldiers controlled a 500,000 black workers. Santo Domingo accounted for two-thirds of all of France's overseas trade and surpassed the combined amount of all agricultural exports of the Spanish Indies. This commerce employed 15,000 sailors on approximately 1,000 ships, and I might also mention that many of the slave ships were owned by Jews. Cotton from Santo Domingo kept France's textile mills in business. Thousands of slaves labored on sugar plantations on Santo Domingo, one of the busiest slave ports in the triangle trade. Traders brought enslaved individuals to Haiti to work on the sugar plantations, and sugar became the return cargo. Traders, who typically dealt in slaves and sugar, sold their products in the American colonies. Port-au-Prince was one of the capitals of the triangle trade. Obviously, intimidation, brute force, or superior indoctrination is essential for a small group of men to control a large slave population. Infractions by slaves brought violent repercussions. Whippings, sexual mutilations, rape, branding, and even death. Disobedience might result in the guards nailing someone to a tree or spraying a slave with a hot wax, or a guard would slather a poor victim with molasses and position him or her in the path of swarming, meat-eating ants. A guard could burn a slave alive or cut off a body part with a machete and then force the victim to consume it. Death was often a blessing, and the suicide rate was understandably high. Debt slavery in the U.S. and elsewhere works on those same basic principles. A select group creates and imposes the law, then uses authority, the ABC bureaucratic agencies, to enforce them, with threats of heavy fines or incarceration for even the smallest infractions. The privileged elite, by design, are not subject to those same laws. The system usually works quite well, unless a rebellious subordinate questions a lawmaker's activities. The media regularly disseminates the infractions, manufactured or real, which keeps the majority of the lower-level bureaucrats obedient to the system. Officials soon learn to acquiesce, shield each other, vote the right way, and remain silent just to get along in the corrupt system. All righty, we are going to a break momentarily, and then we will continue with the slaves in the Caribbean and the slave population of Santo Domingo. And then we'll take some calls. So stay tuned. We will be back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors.
Purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkey's are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Did you know that the water you're drinking may contain over 2,000 different contaminants? From hormone-disrupting and mind-altering chemicals like fluoride in pharmaceuticals to newly emerging contaminants like radiation and other hybrid chemicals that water treatment plants don't screen out of our drinking water. PureEffectFilters.com has a breakthrough filter solution to effectively reduce the widest range of such contaminants, including the radiation coming from the Fukushima disaster. In addition, the filters will also revitalize your water by releasing natural minerals and electrolytes while increasing pH and antioxidant levels. Safeguard and revitalize your drinking water today with a breakthrough PureEffect water filter system. Visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more. Or contact us today at 1-888-891-4821. That's 1-888-891-4821. Call now and take one of the most important steps you'll take to a healthier future.
Welcome back, friends. I know that we've all been indoctrinated to view Christopher Columbus as this great hero, but hopefully you have a different perception of him now. And over the years, I'll forego the rest of the stories about the slaves, but over the years, the government, in connection with various individuals, have tried to promote and bind us to certain holidays, certain beliefs that they want us to accept. And in April 1891, Francis Bellamy, who was the vice president of the Christian Society of Socialists, an auxiliary of Bellamy's nationalist movement, worked for Daniel Ford's Boston-based Youth Companion magazine. He worked with Ford's nephew, whose name was James Bailey Upham, who was a Knights Templar, which is the equivalent of a 33rd degree Scottish Rite Mason. Now, Upham was a member of the Converse Lodge in Malden, Massachusetts. They increased the magazine's circulation by selling inexpensive U.S. flags to public schools, institutions already influenced by the socialist John Dewey. Now, you know, schools didn't used to have an American flag. The only facilities in the country that had American flags were military bases and, you know, maybe the post office. But in order to militarize the entire country, they wanted, and in order to get the allegiance of the population towards the government, towards the central government, particularly after Lincoln's war, They wanted to really have a lot of patriotic stuff, a lot of flags. And in support of the schoolhouse flag movement, they intended to place this flag, a flag, above every school. And in conjunction with this flag distribution program, Bellamy chaired the National Public School Celebration for Columbus Day under the direction of the National Education Association, the NEA, later under the control of the Rockefeller Foundation. Officials initially designed the flag to be flown at federal installations, as I mentioned, but because of the contemporary Department of Education, officials consider all public schools as authorized federal institutions. To augment the schoolhouse flag movement and to incorporate socialism as viewed by Edward Bellamy, his illustrious cousin Francis wrote a pledge in which each student pledged his or her total devotion to the state. He published his creation in the magazine on September 8, 1892. It read, and I quote, "I pledge allegiance to my flag and the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all," unquote. While pondering on this oath, he related to friends, and I quote, "With the meaning of the war between the states, with the aspiration of the people, it is the concise political word for the nation, the one nation which the war between the states was fought to prove. To make that one nation idea clear, we must specify that it is indivisible." In other words, you know, nothing can go against the federal government. The Bellamys enthusiastically admired Lincoln for his aggressive warfare against the rebellious South. Now, Karl Marx suggested that the very first objective in setting up the communist nation was in demanding and establishing, and I quote, "a single and indivisible republic," unquote. Marx's use of the word republic actually means a socialistic democracy. The indivisible republic was the overriding principle of the illuminated French Jacobinism, the nation that was indivisible. Essentially advocates for a strong central government which forcefully seized power from the local government entities and transferred it to the federal tyrants in an undeviating and permanent indivisible entity, a power they would never again relinquish to the individual sovereign states and their citizenry. So in 1892, at exactly, 400 years, in 1892, after the media popularization of Bellamy's book, Looking Backward, which was a novel, the enlightened cousins discussed the Universal Brotherhood, an Illuminati objective that prompted Francis to embody the ideals of equality and fraternity into the pledge, ideas that people carried to America from the French Revolution. He incorporated the phrase "with liberty and justice for all." Upham and Bellamy particularly wanted to emphasize the word allegiance. They wanted the pledge to be a heartfelt vow, not just a salute. The Bellamy cousins venerated Lincoln and his violent revolution, so the word allegiance was significant and essential. Southerners negatively associated the pledge with the oath of allegiance, a vow that they had been compelled to swear to their invaders who destroyed their culture and their very existence, as well as Christianity. Others, including church leaders, also had misgivings about swearing an oath. So anyway, so what they're trying to do is celebrate Columbus Day on October 12, 1892. And in conjunction with the celebration of Columbus Day, which was probably the first time that it was celebrated, they wanted to indoctrinate everybody to pledge allegiance to the federal government. Okay, we're going to be right back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans, thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation, but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny, and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method, which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Right now, for the month of October 2011, Freeze Dry Guy is letting their customers get first dibs on the meat bucket special. That's roasted chicken, Southwest-style chicken, teriyaki-style chicken, stroganoff-style beef, cheesy ground beef, and savory roasted ground beef. Just add hot water and enjoy. Portable, easy, convenient. Real meat, real good. Supplies won't last with this special offer. Order today to beef up your freeze-dried meat supply. You'll even get $20 back in survival bucks or loyalty dollars when you beat the rush and order our freeze-dried meat buckets. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
Welcome back. As I was mentioning, a lot of people, a lot of Christians, do not like to swear an oath, and that is why they find things like Freemasonry very bad. And so people, even though it was maybe because it was the government that was promoting this, because it was socialists that were promoting the Pledge of Allegiance, the Catholic Church actually had serious qualms about swearing an oath, one of the issues that they had with Freemasonry. But Francis Bellamy, who was, remember, a socialist, devised a ritualistic straight-arm salute, the whole ritual to be directed by a school principal. The students stand, lift their right arms toward the flag, palm downward, and then recite the pledge. After the recitation, students were often instructed to say, "One country, one language, one flag." The straight-arm salute, per congressional edict, was abandoned in December 1942 after the Nazis adopted it. School administrators used the pledge and salute as part of the National Public School celebration on Columbus Day, October 12, 1892. And remember, it was the Rockefeller-financed NEA, National Education Association, that promoted the national adoption of the pledge and the placement of the American flag in every government-run classroom. Parochial schools did not adopt the program. Advocates urged senators, congressmen, and other politicians to promote the proposed celebration for Columbus Day. Theodore Roosevelt, a member of the U.S. Civil Service Commission, remarked, and I quote, The common school and the flag stand together as the archetypical of American civilization, unquote. Grover Cleveland, in the process of campaigning for the presidency, asked U.S. Representative Henry Cabot Lodge to arrange for President Harrison and Congress to support the approaching celebration. The government sought to finance mandatory public schools, an idea generally opposed by the majority of the population, because they viewed the government schools as socialistic, which in fact they were. They are. Harrison issued a statement requesting the population to honor the 400th anniversary of Columbus with festivities at their schools and other public places. Francis Bellamy attended the flag-raising ceremony in New Jersey on April 25, 1893, the very first time in which adults recited the Pledge of Allegiance. James Upham and Francis Bellamy led the recitation, saying, and I quote, "The times demand a patriotic citizenship, patriotic schools, a patriotic pulpit, a patriotic press," unquote. Bellamy, in favor of government-run schools, remember he was a socialist, wrote in the Youth Companion, and I quote, "Our fathers, in their wisdom, knew that the foundations of liberty, fraternity, and equality," those are Illuminati phrases and also Freemason phrases, "must be universal education controlled by the government," unquote. There was a great patriotic fervor leading up to the Spanish-American War. Government officials required that people stand when the flag passed by. On April 22, 1898, the day after the U.S. declared war on Spain, a New York State Senate Bill number 556 required all children in government schools to salute the flag. The state created the Manual of Patriotism, offering five possible patriotic pledges. In 1939, the U.S. Flag Association acknowledged Bellamy as the author of the original pledge. On August 20, 1953, the Supreme Council of the Knights of Columbus adopted a resolution urging the addition of the phrase "under God" and submitted it to the President, Vice President, House of Representatives, and to each member of Congress. President Eisenhower signed the edict for the addition of the phrase on June 14, 1954. The Jehovah's Witnesses, the Amish, and others who take the Bible seriously do not believe in earthly allegiances, participate in secular government, vote, or hold office. They argue, as do specific scriptures, that saluting the flag and particularly reciting oaths of any kind are a form of idolatry. And the group filed suit in a federal court in the late 1900s as dogma in the gradual establishment of secularism. Okay, I'm sorry, we're still having some problem with our audio. The court quite illegally declared that Jehovah's Witnesses would have to comply. The court allowed no exemption. The witnesses had lost the case, yet their actions outraged millions of Americans, causing outbreaks of violence against Jehovah's Witnesses. It didn't take long for the people to become indoctrinated. So are we still having problems with our audio? Okay, in Richmond, Virginia, a police chief gathered a group of witnesses together, required them to drink castor oil, and then marched them through the streets before running them out of town. A local veterans group in Jackson, Mississippi, drove Jehovah's Witnesses from their homes. An angry mob in Nebraska castrated a Jehovah's Witness. In Rockville, Maryland, the police assisted locals in burning down a church. The same thing occurred in Kennebunk, Maine. Where have I heard that word before? Kennebunk, Maine. I believe that's where the Bushes have their big estate, where citizens burned a local kingdom hall to the ground. School officials increased their persecution of Jehovah's Witnesses, including threatening the children with imprisonment. The Justice Department received hundreds of complaints. So in the early 1940s, the U.S. was on the verge of entering yet another war, and it was especially important to goad the populace into a patriotic frenzy so that the young men could offer themselves as canons. Fodder in the general population would support them in those militaristic efforts. Many states therefore imposed laws that required school children to daily recite the pledge and salute the flag. However, in 1943, because of the persecution and violence against citizens due to religious beliefs, the court reversed its decision on grounds of free exercise. Okay, let's go to the phones. Let's take some calls at 800-313-9443. I want to know how our listeners celebrated. If you did celebrate Columbus Day, I'd like to know what you did. And I'd like to know what you think about Columbus. Many states imposed laws that required school children to daily recite the pledge and
going back? Okay. All righty. We have... Well, apparently somebody doesn't want you listening to what I'm saying. Or something. September 11th, 2001. Minnesota's governor at that time, Jesse Ventura, vetoed the bill as unconstitutional. Oh, now my phone's acting up too? Oh my goodness. All righty. The obedience trained citizens of Minnesota criticized him for his decision. Okay, why don't we take some calls? You can call in at 800-313-9443. I'd like to hear from you. Tell me what you did on Monday. Tell me what you think of Columbus. Tell me what you think of pledging allegiance to the federal government or whatever you would like to talk about. Okay, the required recitation of the Pledge of Allegiance, whether it be implied or legally sanctioned, is problematic on several levels, not the least of which is Constitution. The Constitution, ratified by the people, took divine right away from kings and despots and made the people sovereign. For the first time in history, this turned the reins of power on its head and made the government responsible for the people, not the other way around. The flag represents the government that we hired to carry out its responsibilities as defined by the Constitution, together that the founders provided with the Bill of Rights. This form of government was a true gift to we the people, albeit one which we have yet fully embraced and enact. Part of this is due to the subtle but deliberate and persistent manipulations of the public psyche. In truth, the people do not owe automatic, unthinking allegiance and obedience to the government, okay? So much as the government owes to the people accountability for its actions. The schools and other entities have indoctrinated the population so that we almost mindlessly parrot the words of the pledge and go through the motions implied by our understanding of it without even thinking about the potential consequences of our unquestioning compliance. All righty, let's take Mike in Kentucky. Mike, welcome to the program.
I think it's quite a shocker for folks to see those old Nazi salutes or actually called them exaltation of the flag because the palm was supposed to be turned up. You may be familiar with the old gospel hymn, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw you to me." So it's exalting the flag, almost like Christians exalt Jesus. And so, you know, it's not too far of a stretch to understand the perspective for the Jehovah's Witnesses if you're not ignorant of these this whole period of history. And you look up socialism in Black's Law Dictionary, and it just tries to say, well, it's a much maligned term, but, you know, what do you look at, you know, the Nazis were the nationalist socialists.
Well, that was a different kind of a thing than the socialism that we are living under now.
Well, but plank of the Communist Manifesto has not manifested itself. I mean, it's depending on the translation. Got centralized control of education, heavy progressive income tax, abolition of all rights of inheritance. I mean, the program's installed.
Sure.
So, but, you know, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, it seems like that word just keeps coming back up when it comes to anything that is other than the republic that we're supposed to have.
Well, republic, Marx used the word republic the way that it is used in this country, and as an indivisible thing.
Yeah,
and when you think about the Lincoln's War, it was a socialist revolution by many people who came over here.
Did I lose you?
Sure.
You're breaking up. I didn't hear what you just tried to say there. We're supposed to have a trade union. I think the United Nations is a duplication because District of Columbia is a, you know, like a maritime district. You have the various embassies there. So what do we need with the United Nations? The several states, if you go back and look in our old law dictionaries, that's what they talked about, the United States, almost using it as a different entity, the several states being part of the trade union.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you really look at history, apparently we're also having a hard time with my phone, which is very unusual.
Well, no, I think it's getting to be more par for the course these days. Everything's digital, and it's got backdoor hacks into it, and it's looking pretty bleak based on some of the stuff from the Joint Special Operations University. If you read their blogs and information warfare guidelines, this is the kind of stuff that they do to harass people that don't want their information out. It's kind of hard to believe until you've experienced it for years and have people laugh at you and make fun of you for daring to suggest that there's a parallel network that could be hacked into. But then you go read the government's actually saying that the Chinese hackers have installed viruses in our electrical grid, and that stupid Stuxnet worm that they tried to deploy against Iran is apparently all over the place, and these digital valve controllers. It is looking kind of bleak.
Sure.
If you're not ignorant, you know. And so we really got to, I think, what is that promise? If my people called by my name will humble themselves and repent, then I will heal their land. It doesn't take all the rest of these perverts to humble themselves and repent. It just needs to be these folks who have allowed themselves to be corrupted. Constantly criticize China for cracking down on unlicensed churches. Just try to have a church in this land without 501c3 IRS tax collector status. And the Indianapolis Baptist Temple was taken out for that reason, the first church in history that the United States went after. And, of course, things have kind of took a turn for the worse since then. That was in, February of 2001?
I don't know. We don't hear a whole lot of that kind of thing on the news.
Nope. They shut it down. And people talk about there's no censorship. We got the Internet. I don't think we've been allowed to have some of this stuff without the strings attached for control and editing and censorship.
Sure.
And the obfuscation, strategic influence, credibility, operations to destroy people's credibility and stuff like that. They have all these aces up their sleeves, and including, screwing with your phones.
Right. And I can understand messing up the, Skype or something. But usually, I mean, my phone is pretty good.
I've got pictures of the phone equipment that was installed in the late 1990s. There's digital return path, and most of this equipment is Well, I just talked to a fiber optic guy a few months ago, and he said there's no limit to the amount that he knows of. There's no theoretical limit to the number of channels on one fiber optic cable, and there's no theoretical limit to the number of times you can split off a fiber optic signal. It just depends on the power of the card. So the secret splitter rooms and the secret splitter floors, I don't even know if the government knows how far those signals are being split off to before they even get a hold of them to filter for whatever they want to filter for. You get the impression that the phone companies are pretty much going to be, they've got the game.
We do have to go to a commercial break.
Yeah. Breaking up, too.
And we've got some other callers.
Yeah, sure.
So thanks, Mike.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll-free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror? Or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract! A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experience process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Righty. Let's take Buddy in Boston. And if you want to call in, it's 800-313-9443. Buddy, welcome to the program. Buddy dropped. Oh, okay. Too bad. All righty. If you would like to call in, it's 800-313-9443. It's been an interesting week. I've listened to other programs, watched a little bit of TV. Particularly, there was a Columbus Day parade, I believe it was on Sunday, and I just thought, these people have no idea what they're doing. And it was in the Italian section of Chicago. And they were so proud and they claim, you know, that of course there's nobody really knows whether he's from Italy, Spain, or whatever, but he was Jewish. But the Italians wanted to claim him, and they felt so proud, and they, you know, that, gosh, he'd come over and he discovered America. And, you know, because of what he did, we now have this wonderful free land to live in. And it makes me kind of sad that the American public, for the most part, does not understand history. And as an amateur historian, it is absolutely, absolutely imperative that we know what has happened in this country before, that we have an understanding of the histories of other nations, so that we know where we're at. Because we live in kind of a vacuum, and people forget what happened before, even 10 years ago. I mean, I remember that Fox News announced in December of 2001 that Osama bin Laden was probably dead. And yet, Buddy's back? Okay. All righty. Well, let's take Buddy. Buddy, welcome to the program.
Hello, Van. Thank you. Am I on?
You are.
Thank you very much. It's interesting, just as a side note, that I planned my day. I'm a retired senior. I planned my day around your program.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you wanted to know our listening feelings about the Columbus person.
Yes.
Now, I tuned in rather late, so if you discussed his real name?
Yes.
Okay, good. And also that he never came to this continent?
Right.
So that you perceive that as being truth also?
Yes, because he landed in the islands.
Yeah.
In the Caribbean islands, what is now Santo Domingo and Haiti.
And so what is your opinion as to why he is exalted?
Because the American government wants to create myths, they want to create heroes for us to worship. And certainly that is what a lot of people do.
And but why this person? Well, it's not even his real name. Why was he of the left or the right? Or what is his background?
It isn't left or right. I mean, he was probably Jewish. He was into seeking gold. And he was into murdering a lot of people. You know, we ran out of time.
Okay, we agree. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk to you tomorrow.